I don't know if our next guest even eats pizza anymore. I don't have any idea because he is withering away to a shell of what his former self once was, but that's a good thing. And he's also dropping not Woj bombs today, but Jode bombs today. Woj bombs are like nuclear blasts. Jody's are more like those bunker busters that are just isolated here in Salt Lake City regarding the Utah Jazz. So dropping Jode bombs with us today, our Jazz insider, Jody Ginnessy. What's going on?
I'm like throwing dirt clods compared to Woj's nuclear bombs. But no, just trying to stay abreast of the situation here. And it's really a strange year for the Jazz. And I just tweeted this out. And I've talked to somebody in the know, and things are a little bit disjointed because they just don't know what's going to happen with Gordon Hayward. They want to be aggressive. They are actively working the phones almost as much, if not more, than anybody in the NBA right now, from what I'm told, to try to make some things happen. But it's just such a mystery, as somebody described to me, the ghost of Gordon Hayward is kind of haunting them right now. They feel comfortable that he's going to stay. They just don't know. And so it's hard to build a team around a guy if he's going to leave.
See, this
and
is what
you need a small forward.
And this is why I've maintained the NBA does it bass backwards, Jody. And I've talked to other NBA people that are like, yeah, it kind of is. They should have free agency first and then the draft, but they don't do it that way.
Right. And I totally agree. I mean, and usually, for the most part, you're not going to be drafting guys who are going to be contributing right away. So often you're picking a guy for two or three years down the line. But sometimes you do have an immediate need to fill. And if you have a higher draft pick, they possibly could slide into a starting role. And so it just is awkward because you just don't know. And so, but it's not just the actual draft, but it's also, you know, this is one of the more active trading seasons as well. And so you don't know what you should be packaging your draft picks and other assets for if you don't know who's going to be on your team or not.
Well, it was interesting. I just had Chad Ford on a couple of minutes ago, and I asked him, okay, if Dennis Lindsay and Quinn Snyder want to move up, how far could they go with 24 and 30 if you want to package those two together? He goes, I don't think you can get to the lottery, which is unusual because they're only having to move up about nine spots to get into the lottery. And he said, I don't think that because they covet those spots so much. So he said they might have to throw a player in with it if they even wanted just to get – and he was just talking about the lottery, Jody, not even like the top 10.
Yeah, and then I just tweeted this out as well, but I know the Jazz want to move up into that 12 to 17 range. So even if they're just outside of the lottery a little bit, they really love some of the players there. But they can't do exactly what you just said. They can't, and Chad said, they can't package the 24 and the 30. They're going to have to throw in a player. And so – you're going to lose an asset, but this is a draft where you're probably okay doing that because there's some really, according to all the experts and projections, there's some really high quality players that could step into a role right off the bat for you, especially if you get up there higher. The Jazz are in desperate need for some shooters, and so that's what they would be looking for is the best. We always say best available player. This year it's the best available shooter. I think you kind of wish you could go back on that Devin Booker trade.
Goodness gracious. Well, the good news is a few years ago, they got a terrific shooter in Rodney Hood at the end of the first round. So there's guys there, and this is a deep draft, so you can find them. Let's start, though. They may be in a desperate need for a point guard, too. And I saw your tweet earlier, and the Jazz aren't the only ones, but apparently Minnesota, after drafting Chris Dunn a year ago, are actively at least dangling Ricky Rubio out there. And you said the Jazz have some interest.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Usually on draft day, we're used to Minnesota taking all of the point guards. So this year, they want to get rid of a point guard. But, yeah, the Jazz don't know exactly what's going to happen to George Hill. I think they would love to have him back, but the price might be too high. Ricky Rubio is a player that could come in another for the Jazz. So you just never know with these talks. They have explored some things, but right now it's not really in the active stages. They're not pursuing a trade, but that's still there. You know, it's still lingering. They've kind of set the groundwork for potential talks, and sometimes those things will come back into a play when you're on the clock, and that's when the best hands are often made.
The other name that you mentioned in a tweet a little while ago that the Jazz aren't necessarily dangling, but other teams are at least inquiring about is Derek Favors.
Right. And you know, that's the Jazz. Yeah, the Jazz love Derek Favors, and they don't want to get rid of him. But you know, it's obvious that this is a Rudy Gobert's team now, and they would love it if they could coexist. But he only has Derek has one more year on a very contract, and so he has a teams. There's definite reason why they want to try to explore about getting Derek Favors. He's a nice player. He's powerful. Obviously, this year was a little bit of a funk because of his injuries, but he's a very attractive player. The Jazz would like to keep him, but he's not off limits. And so, if that means that they can package Derek Favors and, you know, maybe those first round picks and move up there and get another player, that's a possibility. They just really, really need shooting more than anything at this point.
And so, when you say shooting, it's not necessarily a shooting guard. It could be a stretch four too, because frankly, Trey Lyles, they didn't show a lot of confidence in him down the stretch, and I think this is a big year for him coming up. But the shooting could mean a guard. It could mean a stretch four, correct, too?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, you see a guy like maybe a TJ Lee, or it could be like a Luke Kennard or somebody like that. Malik Monk are some guards that you could see them trying to move up for. But there are some really intriguing stretch fours, and they'd hope that Trey Lyles could be that. And I don't think they've completely – written him off, but this year was definitely he regressed. He struggled this year, and so they're seriously looking at a stretch four. Joe Johnson filled that role nicely towards the end of the season, but they need a younger stretch four and somebody who can pair up with Rudy Gobert and hopefully with Gordon Hayward. And but that's a high priority for the Jazz.
I'll tell you a guy that I love a lot, and he would fall in that 12. I think he would fall in that 12 to 17 range you were talking about a second ago, Jody. Justin Jackson from North Carolina, I think, would be a terrific stretch for.
Yeah, that's – oh, yeah. In fact, yeah, I mentioned him too. So, like, Chad Ford has him down at 21, so he's within reach if that's the case. But, yeah, he's a guy that might be one of the best shooters – overall in this draft, and so that would seem to be a really good fit. There's some guys that will likely be on the board, maybe a Terrence Ferguson, you know, at Braxton, some guys like that would be kind of fun. Frank Jackson came home,
yeah,
some guys like that could be interesting fits with the Jazz.
How do you think the Jazz – you mentioned Frank Jackson, and I like Frank too. Let's say they don't move up and they're at 24 and Frank's there. You know, Chad was just saying too, Frank Jackson was like the hardest prospect for NBA. They shut him down. He wasn't giving out a lot of information, not doing very many interviews, which led a lot of people in the NBA to believe somebody gave him a first round guarantee and he kind of shut himself down. But Frank Jackson is a guy that I like a lot. I think he's got good size. I think he could be a good NBA point guard. He's not a lead guy, first of all, right away, but, you know, where do the Jazz fall on Neto and Shelvin Mack? I mean, are those guys that they would look at as expendable? Are those guys they would look at as third point guards? Maybe Jackson's a two, and then if you bring George Hill back, he's your one, or a Patrick Beverley or a Ricky Rubio. How do they view those two point guards that are on the roster right now?
That's a real. I think for long term they view Neto higher than Shelvin Mack. I know that that Quinn Snyder really liked Shelvin Mack, but those are both your. I think they're your number three at highest, and that's why, as our friend Tony Jones reported, the Jazz were looking and talking to Houston about Patrick Beverley more as a backup point guard. Just you know, you have to factor Dante Exum in there as well, but they just struggled again with the backup point guards this year. They nailed down George Hill when he was healthy. But now they're in a situation where I think Neto and Mack would still be the third guy. I have a hard time seeing them bring both of those guys back. So they really need some upgrade there at the point guard, especially the backup point guard. If George Hill returns, they're going to need a starter. If George Hill doesn't return, see, that's going back to the point we made earlier. How do you plan this when you don't know if your guy is going to come back or not? It's just a weird situation for the Jazz once again. So, I mean, that's why, you know, my source said the word disjointed is kind of the feeling inside of the Jazz brain trust right now, because they just don't know how they should commit to this, not knowing whether Hayward or Hill are going to be their guys.
Jazz insider Jody Genesee on draft day here on ESPN 700. You said in a tweet that they've beefed up their international scouting and development situation, and you think there might be a draft and stash somewhere. They've got the four picks, Jody. I am hard-pressed to think they keep all four, even with a draft and stash. Well, what's your guess? Do they keep both first-round picks? Do they try? I'm just trying to gauge what you're feeling right now on because it's very rare that any NBA team, much less the Jazz, who are pretty stacked, would keep that many draft picks. What do you make of all the picks?
Well, the Jazz, as was pointed out to me earlier today from an NBA source, have one of the most robust scouting departments in the NBA, and drafting is one of Dennis Lindsay and his counterparts' strengths. And so it would be hard-pressed to see them not take a stab at this draft, because that's what they love to do. They love the player development. They are really good at usually drafting good, but I see the scenario playing out where they package a couple picks to move up. I think that's the most likely scenario. Like you, I don't see them picking all four guys, although I've been told that they're okay if that ends up being the situation, because they like to be available at that time, or at least who they think will be available at that time. But I think the most likely scenario is that they try to move up.
Give me a name. I've been asking everybody, give me a name in your draft research. Let's just say they stay at 20. They've keep the 24 pick for sure. Knowing what the Jazz, they can't move up. They may ditch 30, but at 24, they're going to stay put. Give me a name of somebody you've done a little research on, you talked to at one of the workouts, something like that, that you think would be a good fit for what the Jazz need.
I don't know if he'll be there, but I think TJ Leaf would be almost a hand-in-glove type fit. I really think that he would be a nice, especially if he's available at 24. You snag him up really quickly. Otherwise, I'm going to stick with Frank Jackson. I think he would be nice. One other player that I really like for them is the North Carolina freshman, Tony Bradley. I think that he should be available at 24. He possibly could be there at 30. I think he's a guy worth taking a flyer on.
Follow him. We'll check in with him later if he's available tonight during our draft coverage. But certainly if you're not following and catching the Jode bombs, you need to do it. DJ Jazzy Jody is where you'll find him on Twitter, obviously in the pages of the Deseret News. And I guess we'll see how active things are for the Utah Jazz. You can talk about it all you want, but it takes two to tango, right?
Exactly. And I promise I will keep my cauliflower pizza tweets to a minimum today.
No, that I'm okay with that. I was going to wrap up with that. Are you still eating? I know you're eating healthier. Pizza's pizza to me. You can always, if you don't like the cauliflower, you can always pick it off. But is that the pizza you're going with these days? Is your cauliflower pizza?
Well, I use the cauliflower as a base for the crust.
Oh,
funky. But I just went to a lacrosse tournament for my son. He's turned out to be quite the stud. Defensive player for his lacrosse team. We went to Vail for a tournament, and I had some Blue Moose pizza there, like some real pizza. Oh, my goodness. I need to stay away from that because it was really good. You don't eat real pizza for a while, and then you taste it again. It's like, oh, that's why I got really fat.
Well, tonight, limited to just some water and snacks in the draft room, and we'll talk to you later. Sound good?
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Jody. Jody Genesee with us here on The Bill Riley Show.